Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We are chatting with Ed Moya, senior market analyst over at Oanda. Now, Ed, look, we seem to be having a bit of a pullback in this, let's call it fear trade, or this trade that really pushed a lot of commodities a lot higher. Precious metals were up, energy was up, US dollar was up. We are seeing, again, a pullback, especially starting this morning. Here's precious metals are all down. The U.S. dollar is down. And yields, those are also moving higher. So really, that whole fear trade on the back of this war that is still ongoing between Russia and Ukraine, a little bit of, I guess, dissipation between just how much money flew into some of these other assets. What's your takeaway here, Ed? Because quite frankly, the war is still going on. It's just that we've had a couple headlines saying that the countries are having better talks. That doesn't mean that the war is over, but the market is sure starting to shift that direction.
Exactly. And I think there was a key focus with geopolitical developments. Yes, the Fed is kind of that. I think when this week is over will be the primary driver. But when we started trade, there was this strong wave of optimism, and I think what you're seeing is there was two big stories that kind of drove it. First, when you have both Russian and Ukrainian officials giving the nod that there were some positive assessments in the progress of their talks, that was something we really haven't heard. And I think that, you know, while that's happening, you can continue to see the Russian military make moves and attack key regions and bases, and you know, it shows you that, you know, we're in a war. There has not been yet a true de-escalation, and you know, there are still big risks that, you know, this can play out a lot longer than some of the more optimistic calls. And what the other key story that also helped drive it was that there was that press report that Russia was going to the Chinese asking them for military equipment. There was this belief that Russia could be running out of some supplies there, and that could lead to a shorter war. So you had both those stories driving risk appetite. And I think that now you're really in a position where the world has to be prepared for, you know, I think that still, you know, you don't start a war and don't want to play this out. And I think that because the Ukraine is not going to budge on their demands as far as, you know, how we can end this. And that would require a removal of Russian troops. And Russia wants land, and they're going to want to make sure that this war pays out for them. And I think that there are other longer term risks that, you know, we could see this get even uglier. And I think that, you know, investor optimism over a couple of headlines of, you know, talks are constructive is not kind of the right trade, but I still think that you have a lot of people being overly optimistic that stocks are still going to do much better when we're talking again at the end of the year, because the economy is still fairly strong. The labor market is still strong. The consumer does have a big amount of savings, so they can help. They can still pay for these widespread price increases. And I think overall, I think the take is that people think that this war isn't going to last a whole lot longer, whether it's, you know, into early summer. I think the risks are that this could be much longer than that. But you have to see exactly how traders are positioning themselves. And right now, that I think there is this firm belief that this won't be a long war. And I think that investors are kind of being tentative, and they're looking at technical levels. And right now it seems that this is an area where you could see stocks stabilize.
Yeah, nobody really knows how long this war will continue, but obviously the market is messaging today that it's not as bad of a risk-off situation because the dollar is pulling back. Most of the commodity complex is pulling back. The safe havens are pulling back. So there is a little bit of a respite from the fear trade that has been in place the last few weeks. We really saw this at the end of last week, and it's just continued to kick off this week. So what do you make of the pullback in the commodity complex overall, whether it's oil and gas or the metals? Almost all of those racing commodities are correcting a little bit at this point.
Yeah, it seems that you're really starting to see some major profit taking kick in for a lot of these commodities. Early in the morning, I had some talks with some reporters, and you know, everyone's like looking at gold and palladium, and it seems that you're seeing that there is some optimism that for some of these commodities like palladium, that you're not looking at a whole lot of weakness just yet with their exports, and that it looks like that that type of supply is not going to have as severe of disruptions as we were thinking, which would really punish the automakers. I think that a lot of this optimism is still early, because you have to remember, you know, sanctions have not been put on palladium, but then also you have to remember the Russians, you know, could use that as an ace up their sleeve and saying that they can withhold giving the world palladium and giving us some of these other key commodities. So I think that you've seen the market kind of look at the headlines, look at how we've seen some exaggerated moves higher, you know, with high frequency trading, sometimes a tight market combined with, you know, geopolitical catalysts, you can see some really strong moves. And I think now you're seeing steady profit taking. And a lot of people are also attributing that to, you know, we're going to have the Fed begin tightening on Wednesday. And I think ultimately people are, you know, unsure exactly, you know, how aggressive is this Fed going to be? What is the Fed's take? Are they going to be positioning themselves to possibly deliver some supersized rate hikes in the summer? And right now you're probably going to see that the commodity trade is not dead by any means. And I think that you'll probably see a re-intensification of these geopolitical developments could really spark another move higher here. But right now, yeah, it seems that there's some weakness here. And I think that's because there's this belief that, you know, exports are not going to be disrupted completely, and that you also have, as this war plays out, some demand risks where that could really drag down some of the momentum here that was building nicely for commodities at the beginning of the year.
So, Ed, what's your takeaway from the fact that, look, commodities, a wide range of commodities went vertical, that they broke out of many different resistance levels, and quite frankly, some of them, like nickel, had to get their exchange shut down, which is a whole other pretty scary story. But the fact of the matter is, even if we get even more of a pullback in these commodities, they are still at generally higher levels. How does that translate over in your eyes to future economic data? Prices, it seems like, will stay fairly elevated for consumers and businesses.
Very much so. And with what we're seeing as far as, you know, these widespread pricing pressures, there's probably this firm belief that, you know, they're going to get worse. They're going to get worse for the next few months. And depending on, you know, what happens with the war in Ukraine, it could even persist into the fall. I think that you're probably, you know, looking at some demand destruction, and that's complicating how, you know, this year was supposed to play out. But in the end, I think short term, you still have a very strong consumer, and you still have a labor market that is allowing people to do what to work and to make better wages if they want to go into that job market again. So I think that you're probably going to see, you know, the longer we see, you know, the risk of this war lasting, you know, I think that in the end, you know, everyone knows you can only dip into your savings so much, and you're probably going to see that wages are going to flatline here, because if the demand threat is looming, companies are not going to be as aggressive in passing on raises or paying more to attract talent. So the outlook for the U.S. is still good. It's still better than Europe. It's still better than Asia. I mean, Asia right now, in China, you're dealing with two major regions getting locked down. So, you know, COVID is far from over. You're seeing a major implication as far as the global demand, global economic activity outlook. You know, with China shutting down, that was one of the key reasons why we saw oil, you know, fall so much to start the trading week. You really need to see which regions are going to perform the best. And right now, it still looks like the U.S. is going to do well, and that's probably attracting a lot of foreign investment. But I think that as we get further along into figuring out whether or not these sanctions are really impacting the Russians, and if you start to see signs that Russia is positioning itself to have an end game here, you know, I think you're going to see there are going to be some tough decisions, whether, you know, the U.S. is in a position where they're going to be asked, do we have to go to war to protect Estonia or some other countries? You know, you're going to see that the geopolitical risks, you know, are not going to go away anytime soon. And I think that now we're probably in a period where it's going to be very choppy. And I apologize. I think I've said choppy three times.
Well, Ed, it is going to be choppy. There are so many factors. One other thing to consider, though, as far as the strength of the consumer, you know, I've seen a lot of articles that says that they're living off their savings now and have depleted a lot of it. We're out of that stimulus money, and a lot of people are living on credit. We've got GDP growth forecasts that are supposed to be near zero for the first quarter, and it's a question of what are those growth forecasts going to look like for the balance of the year. The Fed is getting ready to start their rate hiking cycle at the same time that there still are very high inflationary pressures on prices. And when you look at prices, they're still very elevated, which does hit people in the pocketbook. So the other question would be, you mentioned businesses can't pass that along to consumers anymore. You know, they don't want to risk raising their prices too high, but couldn't this all pressure businesses if there's and consumers in a slowing growth environment to where we may have a bad earnings report at the same time consumption may slow down at the same time there's a rate hiking cycle? I mean, couldn't that be a confluence of events that hits the brakes to some degree on the growth that was expected for this year?
And that's key. I mean, recession risk is huge right now. It's growing. It's growing. I mean, I feel every week we talk, it gets worse. It's getting worse and worse. I think that risk is growing, and you're probably going to see that, you know, companies are going to struggle here. And I think that I was hoping we were going to be done about talking about supply chain issues and bottlenecks. But I think that you're going to see that some companies are really going to have to decide where are they going to put their capital. And right now, the scramble as far as trying to position yourself to benefit from, you know, the key reopening of the global economy is a trade that is kind of not playing out now. And I think that you're going to see that there's an interesting move that's happening right now. You're seeing a lot of people turn defensive. And I think that that's because of, you know, those risks you brought up. And I think that, you know, on a day like today, when you see energy down huge, tech down huge, financials are up because of, you know, what's happening with the yields. And I think that you're also seeing consumer staples doing pretty well. And I think consumer staples is going to become like the go-to trade for so many investors here, because they think that that's how they're going to play the safety trade. And these pricing pressures were going to be pretty bad, I think, into the summertime before we you know, had this war in Ukraine. I think that was going to be where things were finally going to show progress. So I think you have just persistent uncertainty in the market, and that is going to lead to more investors becoming more concerned about stagflation, recessions, and yes, we'll see growth forecasts continue to get slashed for both the U.S. and Europe. But I think in the end, you know, you're still going to see foreign investors want to put some bets in some places right now. And the growth potential of Europe was supposed to be the key trade of the year. And now it seems like there's just a lot of hesitancy to do that. And you're probably going to see that U.S. is still going to do pretty well.
Ed, I think the big thing is what the Fed is focused on, because you are right. All eyes, all attention is going to shift back to the Fed here on Wednesday with the press conference, with the rate hike, and everyone's going to be wondering how many more rate hikes the Fed is projecting this year and what they're watching. Because it sounds like you admit that, look, some of the economic data coming in the near term will be weak. And the markets, they're probably going to remain fairly stuck, if not still trending lower. So then what does the Fed focus on to continue with the rate hikes? It sounds like they, in a way, almost need to put their head in the sand when it comes to the worst data that is expected coming up.
Yeah, very much so. And I think that, you know, the Fed, and I think we're, you know, we get to benefit from just hearing from Fed Chair Powell when he spoke to Congress. You know, he basically guaranteed that they're going to raise rates by 25 points. And that's their starting off. That's their launch point. And I think that, you know, they're they're going to give us a little bit of an idea of what their rate path is going to be like, but they're going to signal that, you know, this is completely adjustable because they need to see exactly how these geopolitical developments play out. And I think the Fed is, they're seeing that, you know, these supply chain bottlenecks continue to worsen. And I think that they're going to have to show the markets that they are tackling inflation. And you know, a 25 basis point increase doesn't really do that. I think that, you know, there are some economists that are saying that, you know, the Fed can, you know, raise rates 6 to 7 times, which is kind of the base case scenario for this year. And, you know, that's really not going to do enough to tackle inflation. And I think that you're going to see that the Fed is going to want to show that, you know, that they have that 50 basis point rate hike potential, and that, you know, given the ever so quickly changing, I think, outlook that we're having, we could possibly see that the Fed could deliver a 25 basis point increase, and to say that they're going to remain very active, and that we should not, you know, just say that, look at the Fed calendar and say those are all the meetings that they have. I think that, you know, the risks of an intermeeting rate hike are growing. And I think that you're going to see that they're going to be faced with some hard decisions over leading up into the summer. And I think that is going to, you know, continue to put more coal into that fire of people thinking that, you know, the Fed's going to send this economy into a recession, because it looks like these geopolitical developments were doing that. And now, you know, the Fed is going to need to send a clear signal here that they are going to address inflation, and that this growth, you know, risk right now that we're seeing, I think they're going to have to still maintain their upbeat outlook for the economy and see exactly how things unfold.
All right, Ed, we're going to wrap it up here. Look, we don't know how the market's going to handle this upcoming rate hike. And even more so, we don't know how many rate hikes are going to even happen this year because of this whole really foggy picture when it comes to economic data, supply chains, and now war that popped up this year. So, boy, oh boy, a lot on the plate for the Fed to balance out. But either way, seems like rate hikes are starting on Wednesday. But how the market's going to take those, who knows? Ed, thank you as always for your time, buddy. We'll chat again next week. I hope you have a great rest of your week.
Thank you. You too.